The Pentagon plans to replace most of its aging Humvee fleet with a new generation, dubbed the Joint Light Tactical Vehicle, that's the JLTV. It's designed to provide more protection against roadside bombs and mines than the Humvees can. DOD recently awarded a $6.7 billion contract to the Wisconsin-based Oshkosh Corporation. James Tinsley is the managing director at Avascent, which advised Oshkosh. He joins me now with more on how the Army's contracting methodology might apply to other DOD platforms. Jim, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so let's talk about the JLTV itself. It doesn't look anything like a Humvee. And what is the main purpose of this vehicle in the first place?
The JLTV is meant to restore the tactical mobility that Humvee originally provided, but also restore payload and protection. As you said, the Humvee is inadequate in today's battlefield when it comes to protection from mines, improvised explosives, and JLTV is able to provide an actually useful vehicle that also provides that amount of protection and at a reasonable price.
And so it's really the design of it and its purpose is really a reaction to the types of encounters that the Army and Marines have been having in reality for the past decade or more.
Absolutely. JLTV is a long-term recognition that the battlefield has changed and that there is no front line anymore. In the old days, you could have vehicles that worked in the background, that worked behind friendly lines and were protected by other armored vehicles, tanks, and the rest. But there's a recognition that the battlefield has changed, and now any vehicle in even a logistics role is now at risk, and we can't politically support vehicles that are going to put troops at risk when we don't need to.
And so the main purpose is to just get troops from point A to point B, or does it also have some firepower associated with it?
There are a couple different variants. There's a cargo variant that is about moving troops and supplies around. There's the JLTV does offer some of the same armament options that Humvee offers, but in a much more protected package. So if you have a gun system or an anti-tank missile or those sorts of weapon systems, the JLTV provides more protection for the crew in performing some of those same missions that the unarmored Humvee or even armored Humvees would have performed in the past.
Now, the Oshkosh Corporation, they also make things like garbage trucks and fire trucks, heavy types of municipal or state-operated, you know, civilian vehicles. Is this a derivative on one of those platforms, or is this something totally designed for this this particular project of the Army?
This is something that they specifically designed for the Army and Marine Corps. Oshkosh has two parts of its business, a commercial business and a defense business. There are technologies that are shared between them. That's one of the strengths of the company is the manufacturing and technology development is shared between commercial and defense, which was one of the ways that they could apply mature technologies to this program. But this was specifically developed for the JLTV requirement and really is derived from some of the work they did during the MRAP program, specifically the MATV, which was a heavier vehicle, highly protected, that was meant to operate in places like Iraq and Afghanistan off-road, where other MRAP vehicles could not. But this new JLTV is a much more evolved, lighter weight, and lower cost version of that vehicle that's been optimized for this requirement.
Yeah, the MRAP, that came during the height of the IED and the roadside bomb really epidemic that was so damaging to the U.S. military. And I think that's when the Secretary of Defense at the time, Bob Gates, said, we got to get this thing now. Stop whatever else you're doing, military services, and get these vehicles. This time they had a little bit more time to plan, correct?
Absolutely. Gates definitely held up MRAP as the new model for defense acquisition with rapid acquisition and fielding using multiple vendors, getting the troops what they needed right now. The issue has been that it was very expensive to use, very expensive to maintain, and the average lifespan will be very short compared to vehicles typically in the fleet. And essentially, the JLTV, though it took 10 years to develop, is meant to solve those different issues and essentially set a new paradigm for defense acquisition.
We're speaking with Jim Tinsley, Managing Director of Avascent. So let's get to the contracting methodology that the Army used. It's been held up as kind of a model by some defense officials. What's going on there?
JLTV really tried to set a new standard. They understood that they had time to develop a vehicle from the beginning instead of trying to adapt a technology that was already existing and really recognizing the limitations of pretty much every existing vehicle They wanted something new. And there were four different things that they used in terms of acquisition strategy to make the program successful. Competition at every phase, realistic cost caps, commercial technology, and then mature technologies through that long development timeline.
Okay, so let's talk about the commercial cost caps and the commercial technologies. As you said, this was designed for the Army, but it has commercial derivative parts into it. So, for example, might the engine, say, be familiar to a mechanic that fixes trucks?
Absolutely. And there's a notion that commercial technology only comes from Silicon Valley and what you read in the defense trade press these days. But there is billions of dollars in commercial automotive technology research and development that can be accessed at no cost to the government through the application of different technologies. And the engine's a great example. The Oshkosh vehicle uses a General Motors engine that's off the shelf and fully developed and mature. So you're not having to use some military-specific engine technology or something that's much older that's been in service for a long time, you know, 1970s or 1980s technology that you'd see, which gives you massive increases in mobility, fuel economy, and payload over the Humvee. So leveraging that R&D that commercial companies are expending anyway at no cost to the government is a great way to get a better vehicle.
And the competition idea that's continuous throughout the life cycle of the vehicle in that $6.7 billion contract, Oshkosh actually didn't get all of the possible vehicles that the Army plans to buy, correct?
That's correct. There's an opportunity for the Marine Corps and the Army to buy the technical data package and recompete production at a later phase after this initial contract. So the total number that's thrown around is $30 billion. There's a very large amount of that could be open to other competitors later who might want to bid a lower price and save the government some money. This is done right now with the family of medium tactical vehicles, which is something that Oshkosh won a few years ago that has the exact same 5 or 6 year cycle between recompetition for production.
And so the technical package, in other words, that's the blueprint. So it sounds like the government has the right to use the, I guess you'd call it, intellectual property developed for the first round of buying and give that to others with nothing due to Oshkosh should someone else win that contract, the follow-on?
Yeah, the government has an option to buy the intellectual property package from Oshkosh. I'm not sure that they're going to execute that. But for a little bit more money up front, they're able to then buy the ability to recompete the vehicle later on, which has been providing them a significant cost savings on certain programs like family medium tactical vehicles. The issue is you have to respect that intellectual property. So if you choose not to buy that package, then you have to continue to buy from Oshkosh. So it's a little bit of a trade-off, but it's a very healthy trade-off between what the industrial base can bring that's mature and commercial and what the government can do to reward people who lower the cost throughout the life of a vehicle.
So that means potentially someone could come in with a different vehicle that fits the bill later on, and they could sell that as part of the JLTV?
It's more likely that the government would have produced the Oshkosh vehicle, but at a different location. So, for instance, you know, Lockheed Martin or AM General could win a production order in 5 or 6 years to produce the Oshkosh variant of the JLPV. This has been done through other Army acquisition programs. The CROWS remote weapon station is a good example. Even the Navy does this with Arleigh Burke-class destroyers between Huntington Ingalls and Bath Ironworks, and they've been able to sustain something on such a sophisticated platform for many years and get a very good deal from it.
It strikes me this whole operation, the whole JLTV acquisition program, is the 180-degree opposite of the way the Air Force has done the F-35.
That's correct. It doesn't always work this way. Even though you have programs like the P-8, anti-submarine warfare and maritime surveillance aircraft, and the KC-46 tanker for the Air Force, both of which use a commercially derived platform, you see very different results with Boeing being very successful on P-8 and struggling a lot with KC-46. It's interesting that you don't see the kind of recompetition at different phases within those programs, but with software, avionics, and the tooling being so expensive for fighter aircraft, it's probably not a good deal for the government in those cases. But when they can take advantage of these kinds of arrangements, they definitely should.
And will the JLTV come in any color except olive drab?
Yes, I'm sure we'll still be buying some sand-colored JLTVs, considering the environment they're going to operate in. But the good thing about the vehicle is because of the long timeline that they had to mature the technologies and really be sure they didn't have buyer's remorse about what they were getting. Whether it's olive drab, sand, or any other color, it's going to be a vehicle that's going to be applicable wherever we happen to be fighting or having to protect our troops.
And we know it'll have satellite radio, if not the same stations you and I play.
Yeah, it's going to be the most sophisticated tactical vehicle in terms of an integrated electronics backbone. The ability to not only use a lot of the radios and communication devices that you see on the Humvee, but really to integrate them into the vehicle in a way that makes them a lot more user-friendly and upgradable in the future.
James Tinsley is the Managing Director at Avascent. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks very much, Tom.